Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Awesome.
Here comes Halliburton. He lays it in with 1:03:10 to go.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Now Jaylen Brown.
History is good. The floodgates have opened and the Magic are drowning.
Today's guests: Eagles general manager Howie Roseman, actor Tia Carrere, Bucks general manager Jason Light, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, that's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. And today's guest list is a personification of what we love to do around here, which is talk sports and pop culture and get a guest list from all different parts of our landscape here in the United States of America. And hour number two is a perfect example of that. I defy anybody to basically throw together in back-to-back segments the general manager of the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles, Howie Roseman, and then Tia Carrere going to talk in a Wayne's World wormhole.
They couldn't do it, Rich.
That's what we do. So I guess party time, excellent. Hour yes. Number two. Schwing. And then... That's what we got going on. That's just hour two. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. Hey, how are you?
I couldn't be better.
DJ Mikey D in D's Nuts. Good to see you, sir.
Good, Rich. Good morning.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Candles lit.
Yeah, Tia Carrere high, and then Howie comes in. It's just going to bring me down a little.
Well, no. It's Howie first.
No, Howie first.
Howie first, yeah.
Howie
yeah,
first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we lead with the general manager of the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, the man who everybody's wondering, how do you keep doing it?
That's as a Cowboys fan, I wonder that every day.
He might actually make a trade to get himself after Tia Carrere, you know what I mean?
It's amazing that he comes on a program that has no SEC people on it. I mean, you're SEC adjacent.
SEC adjacent.
It just means more to me in the Big Ten. So, anyway, good to see everybody out there.
Me too. How are you doing today?
Well, you know, I'm just blown away by what's been going on in the sports world. Involving family relations and the difficult positions that they're putting other members of their family in. And there has been movement on the prank call to Shedeur Sanders, Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator's son front. We'll get to that later on. But there's another father-son relationship that's front and center in sports, and it's the Halliburtons. Now, listen, not a lot of people talk about the Indiana Pacers-Milwaukee Bucks rivalry. You know, in the same way, not a lot of people talk about the Falcons and the Saints rivalry. They really hate each other. I mean, that's a fact.
Fact.
And there's history as to how much hatred there is and very, very... very little talk about water under those bridges. I mean, as a matter of fact, in the NBA, we're all pulling up a chair for a possible Knicks-Celtics round two until the Pistons showed up in Madison Square Garden last night and held that phone, which we'll discuss a bit later. So no one really talks about the Bucks and the Pacers until they play each other in the playoffs and somebody steals Giannis's basketball. That's very important to him, and all holy heck breaks loose. Google that from a couple years ago, because again, if you were interested in any sporting team from Indiana, just Google them. And the Bucks and the Pacers last night played a game five in Indianapolis, in which the Pacers were on the verge of closing out the Bucks, who are now without Damian Lillard, not only for these playoffs, but assumedly for next year's entire regular season. if not entire season, which led everyone to start thinking, is this the end of the Bucks as we know it, from head coach Doc Rivers to, yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo? Is he going to basically say, I'm looking around here and I'm looking over the steering wheel at other different places? Everybody's always wondered about Giannis's NBA wanderlust, and he's staying with Milwaukee year after year after year, and everybody's waiting for that other shoe to drop for him to go to other places. And is this the moment? And the Bucks stroll into Indianapolis last night, and like the Pistons were doing in Madison Square Garden, they were holding the phone on it. And this was a game. And this was a game that the Bucks seemingly had in hand at the end of regulation until it slipped through their fingers. And then we go to overtime, and Gary Trent Jr. was just lighting it up.
Took over.
NBA Jam style.
Four of his eight threes came in overtime.
He's on fire.
And the Bucks were up by seven with less than 40 seconds to go. And if you looked at the ESPN app in terms of the win probability, he was at 97.9% with 39 seconds to go.
Oh, gosh.
That's pretty much
the crowd was quiet as a library. You know, to use the phrase here in Los Angeles, the jello was jiggling in the refrigerator. It was in the icebox. And then the roof caved in. And Halliburton, well, Nembhard was just, he just walked down the court and shot a three uncontested. You know? And then it's a four-point game, and Gary Trent Jr. turns the ball over twice in a row. I guess his hands were all blistered from his shooting. Man. I mean, the hot hand suddenly had butterfingers, and you couldn't believe what you were seeing. And suddenly the Pacers had the ball last with an opportunity to win it with no time left, and Halliburton just on Giannis one-on-one. Didn't get any help, Giannis, and he just strolled right down the lane and laid it in with a second to go. And suddenly the Bucks are losing, and yada, 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 they lose. And we're sitting here, I'm sitting stunned. We're texting each other stunned. I can only imagine what the hell the Bucks were thinking. Doc has got to think, you know, is this the end? And Giannis has to be stunned that this happened. And I don't know how many realities were sinking in on him as he was standing there staring into space with the confetti coming down or whatever the hell's coming down in Indianapolis. And then all of a sudden he looks in front of him and he sees some dude waving a towel in his face, some massive towel in his face with Halliburton's face on it. And suddenly, I imagine he just realizes that's Tyrese Halliburton's dad, who just strolled onto the court like he was a member of the team and stood there, rubbing it in Giannis's nose in the middle of all this. And the crazy thing is John Halliburton is a former referee. He's got to know how out of pocket this is. And Giannis, I mean, for a split second, you know, I guess Mr. Halliburton should be lucky that Giannis recognized him, who he was in this moment. Because if he just thought it was any old fan, he could have clocked him. We could have had a malice in the you-know-what moment. After the game, Giannis explained what happened. And it's a damn shame this is what we're talking about today. Because it was an epic finish. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Reggie Miller was standing there, and this is Reggie Miller-esque, except Halliburton didn't steal the ball twice himself and make every shot in the comeback. Can't believe I'm actually reviewing one of the worst sports moments of my life right now, but it's
up for the greater good.
Dude, it's up there. You know, you go from a 97% chance to win to a 0% chance to win, and now you're wondering about your future. Is it over? Is your basic professional life as you know it over? I don't know if this is what's going through his head, but it's going through mine. And he's got to talk about what happened after the game, and it was something else.
I believe, like, being humble in victory, that's how I am. Now there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, you got to talk and, you know, it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree. I've won the championship. They haven't. Okay? And that doesn't say anything. I'm not trying to minimize their effort. But I remember when I won, my mom, that she's never missed the games from February 11th or 13th when she came in Milwaukee against the Knicks. She's never missed a game. When we won the championship, I remember my mom, she was scared to cross. She was like, am I allowed to come and hug my son? I see, except now my brother does media for this year. He wants to come back and play. But like, except the Nets, you've never seen my family. Like, see, of course I see, this is not something that we do. We don't. I try to keep my family away from the game. But losing the game, emotions run high. Having a fan, which at the moment I thought he was a fan, but then I realized it was Tyrese's son, which I love. Tyrese, I think, he's a great competitor. He was his dad, sorry. Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This the F we do. This, I feel like that's very, very disrespectful.
Yeah, I think he's missing a few berries right there.
Yeah, insane behavior.
Tyrese, after the game, placed the onus where it belonged.
You know, as far as the incident between Giannis and my pops, I had no idea it happened until I got to the back and was showed the video. Me and my pops have talked about that, and I don't agree with, you know, what transpired there from him. You know, I think basketball is basketball, and let's keep it on the court. And I think that he just, you know, got excited, saw his son make a game winner, and came on the court. But I think we had a conversation, and, you know, I think he just needs to just allow me to just play basketball, stay over there. I'll come to him to celebrate. But I think it's the emotions of the game, just got excited there. But I'll talk with Giannis eventually about it. Just, you know, I don't think that my pops was in the right at all there. And
I mean, kudos to...
Yeah, good on him for that.
Well, it can't be easy to say that about your dad, man. Yeah. It can't be easy. You know, and to John Halliburton's credit as well, he posted an apology. You know, and he apologized to the Bucks and the Pacers too, which is appropriate and is not a good reflection on our sport or my son. And I will not make that mistake again. And, you know, again, he's a former ref. And again, this, I'm just going to go here for the moment, okay? It is part and parcel of what's going on in our world today, where too many people have a default of being mean and disrespectful, and your lack of success is a sign of weakness that deserves to be pointed out and mocked. And again, I don't know John Halliburton. The people who I do know that do know him said he's a good dude. And I've met Tyrese when I... Daniel Jeremiah and I followed him on McAfee's show when we were out there in Indianapolis for the combine. Couldn't have been nicer. Took a picture with me to show Cooper, because Cooper has named his fantasy team after Tyrese twice. Yeah. And, you know, obviously that's an apple. It couldn't fall far from the tree. I understand maybe that people lose their minds or whatever, but it's just, again, and I'm not saying he's an avatar for what is going on in the world, or ascribes to it. I'm just saying that there's too many people that just go right ahead and do the wrong thing instead of the compassionate thing these days. And on top of it, too, I mean, let's act the way we would tell our kids to act, in all honesty. I mean, he's a former ref, right? Like he wouldn't countenance that behavior after a game that he's officiating. But the Pacers do need to be hit by Adam Silver for this thing, because somebody let him on the court. And I know that puts the security staff in a bad spot. What are they going to tell Tyree, the star player's dad? Stay in your seat. You're not allowed on the floor. I mean, that puts them in a bind, too. Should be apologizing to the security that probably, I imagine this wasn't the first time he's been on the court either. This looked like somebody who's been there, done that. Although maybe not to this level of disrespect. And also, I think maybe it's disrespectful to specifically Giannis, who everybody might take as, softer than most big men in this league. Do you think he would have done that to Draymond? What do you think? Dylan Brooks?
Good question.
Should I go down the line here? You're going to wave Tyrese's face in front of those guys?
I don't know. Heat of the moment, game winner, close out a series. There's a lot going on.
I think we got to be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, just simply because we've never heard of this type of behavior from him
before.
But
it's just, I don't know, man. It just struck a nerve in me. And that's why I said I wanted to show Tyrese's response and the father's response and also benefit of the doubt. But too bad. Once this is all over, Adam Silver has got to sit down and come up with some figure to hit the Indiana Pacers organization with.
Which I'm sure they'll be fine with. They're moving on. They're moving on. And like Chris said, man, if this was a guy whose name we knew and was always into something, sometimes you do have to give the benefit of the doubt. You know, his son had an incredible comeback. Maybe he just got a little too hyped, you know.
You think?
You know, like I remember you sent us a video once of Cope hitting a home run in a baseball game and you were happy.
I didn't run onto the field to the pitcher who just gave up the home run and wave a picture of Cooper in his face.
I'm saying, you know, you handled yourself in the right way.
And I wanted to make sure, you know, like I wasn't doing it in front of the other parents. Whatever. Listen, I've said my piece. And you guys are understandably saying, hey, let's not treat him like he's the scourge of society. Noted.
But what he did was wrong, and that's bottom line.
Just to palate cleanse here, hey, man, the Detroit Pistons won 14 games, and they just forced a game 6 against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. This Cade Cunningham and the rest of this team, they are outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they are creating problems for the Knicks, like where it's Jalen Brunson playing hero ball and shot clock's down to 4-3 seconds. And if the Knicks don't make a shot, you know, this is a tough team that is coming together at the right time with veterans like Tobias Harris and Dennis Schroeder, right? Tim Hardaway Jr. Yeah. Adding to the mix of Thompson and Durin and man, obviously Cade Cunningham, who is coming into his own.
Yeah, and I imagine not a lot of people know much about him. It's not like the Pistons are on primetime TV and they're not getting a lot of national games. And so this is kind of their introduction to him, and he's a superstar. Yeah.
People probably don't even realize he was the number one pick in the draft because we don't talk about them.
They have a 9-game home playoff losing streak. And if they don't break it, this thing's over and the Knicks take on the Celtics, who just blew the doors off the Orlando Magic that hung with the banged up Celtics for 2.5 quarters before the TD Garden roof caved in. But I mean, in this, the Knicks got a big break, as we all know, at the end of game 4 when Tim Hardaway Jr. was fouled on a 3-point shot and it wasn't called. Pistons got a break at the end of this game last night when both Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson got hurt on the same play with less than 2 minutes to go, both left the game. The Knicks in crunch time had Cam Payne, by the way, which every time I hear that, I think of the political season, and Deuce McBride on the court instead of Hart and Brunson.
A little bit of a difference
the
there.
The Pistons took a 6-point lead in that stretch, and wisely didn't foul. There was no stoppage in play, and the Knicks had only one timeout left, and Thibodeau stood there with that timeout in his back pocket, didn't want to use it because he was now down two possessions, and there's Hart and Brunson standing at the scorer's table ready to get back in, and they couldn't put him back in until there was hardly any time left. So that was a big break that the Pistons got right there. And the Knicks couldn't overcome that. And now there's a game six there. The Nuggets survive by Russell Westbrook. That's an unkind cut for the Clippers.
and Jamal Murray turned into bubble Jamal Murray. Like, he was awesome.
So they're one win away from moving on in that series. And then you got the Lakers tonight trying to survive as well.
You figure if you're going to tell me we're going to hold Joker to 13 points, I'm going to be like, all right, that's an easy dub for the Clips. But
well, you know the league is guaranteeing a Laker win tonight. They're going to shoot 700 free throws.
Are you putting your tinfoil hat of Scott Foster there?
He's not, but I don't think it matters. I mean, look, the memo is loud and clear. Just get ready for sloppy, ugly basketball. A lot of free throws for the home team. Get ready.
I don't know. Anthony Edwards is,
I guarantee you Ant has 3 fouls in the first quarter.
Oh, okay.
Like, a lot of foul trouble early for Ant. It's coming.
So you're saying someone else is going to show who's is bigger tonight, and it's the ones with the whistle?
The ones with the whistles, man.
Okay, I had no idea.
Get ready.
This guy.
Just front loading.
I love how you say that sort of thing, and then you cheer the fact that your team wins at all, as if none of that was a thumb on their scale in any stretch of the imagination at any time or for anything.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying that you're talking about how there's some sort of a league but it's not.
There's a big difference between a historically great offensive and defensive team and a 16-3 playoff run that the Celtics went on last year, and this Laker team that is absolute DS that we're watching and can't play any defense.
But you're proud to win a championship in a league that you say is on occasion thummy on a scale. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Okay. The last time the Knicks won was when?
By the way,
What team would be the best for ratings winning a title? Knicks.
I am
and
not.
And they can't even get to the finals.
I know that. They might not get past Detroit. At times, they do not look like the best team on that court. I'm not saying that your Celtics have any way, shape, or form.
Wow, I mean, you're just saying there's an asterisk next to the title from
last
year.
I'm saying you're like, there's something wrong with this league, but hey, we won it.
I'm telling you, watch what happens tonight in L.A.
Okay.
It's going to smell like fish.
What if it doesn't? What if the T-Wolves just come out and just smash?
They may just, dude.
That would be awesome.
Okay. Again,
if that
happens tonight, the first thing I'm doing, if I'm Nico Harrison, is calling a press conference for tomorrow.
To say what?
To say that
he should throw himself
Lakers,
a parade.
The Lakers and Luka won one more playoff game than we did this year.
And that, you know what? It's going to change no one's opinion of the dumbness of that trade.
He should have just waited.
There's nothing he could do.
He should have just waited to have his postseason press conference until
He should have waited to make the trade. He could have got Giannis.
Yeah. Or he shouldn't have made the trade. That is also true.
It's also that. Oh my God!
Could have not done it, or just waited. Could have got a deal for Giannis.
By the way, we had a group chat going around with some of my friends. Like, you think Nico's going to get fired? I'm like, I don't, because if he gets fired, that's ownership admitting they made a mistake, and I don't think they want to admit that they made a mistake. So I don't think he gets fired.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. We will take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, I'm going to do something really dumb.
Oh, no, I'm out for this.
I know you love it. Oh, in the form of a power ranking, which I know you really do love. That's coming up next. It's that time of the year, people. It's time to go and smell the fresh cut grass at a ballpark and take in a game with your friends and your family. It is awesome. And the best way to do it is to use Game Time tickets to get you there, because It's the easiest way, Game Time Tickets, to get tickets on short notice. Low price tickets all over the app. And that lets you buy more food and drinks at the game, merchandise. It's easier to get a larger group to come with you. We all use Game Time Tickets here at the Rich Eisen Show. You can save up to 60% by buying last-minute tickets through Game Time for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Game Time Picks makes getting those last-minute tickets easier than ever. Quickly highlights the best deals in the stadium. The all-in pricing feature is my favorite because it shows you the total up front. There's no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN, $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car is making this noise. Sometimes it's like doot doot, and sometimes it's like grrr.
Do you have a dash light on?
Oh yeah.
Then we don't have to listen for clues. With the free Fix Finder service, we can read a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light to find the likely fix and even recommend a local shop if you need one.
So you don't need to hear the grrr.
Not with Fix Finder. Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Man, you took what I said the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I mean, that's how it came off.
No, it didn't.
Mike heard it.
You did disrespect him a little bit on the championship.
Like what?
He's talking about what a flawed league it is,
but he's very excited to win it.
I'm not a Boston fan, but you kind of...
You made it seem like they put their thumb on the scale, so we won.
Well, I'm sure
we would win.
I'm sure you don't think that happened at any point in time?
Maybe a game.
For Boston?
Maybe.
At any point in time?
No.
One of the most storied franchises in sports?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
like the Yankees had.
Why would you act like you couldn't have any favor?
Let me again, just to show I'm completely fair and balanced here. His team's never been in trouble to the point where they might need the thumb on the scale to extend the series.
Not during that run,
they end series. They don't have another team extended against.
Yeah, they just rolled last year.
I mean, in the way the Knicks are playing right now, they're going to roll over them too. They're healthy.
0-4 in the regular season this year,
dude. So I'm just saying that you're pointing out how flawed the league is, but you're excited to win it. That's all I was saying. I wasn't saying that you're and I'm also saying like you don't think at some point in time the scale had a thumb on it for the Celtics at any point in time.
Boston's not good for business, man.
What are you talking about? You guys are everywhere. Coop was all fired up watching the game in Orlando the other night and seeing all the green wearing mass holes down there. And I'm told him, I'm like, there's a ton of Northeast people who relocate down to Florida at some point in their lives. You know, that's what I was explaining to him. Yeah, he's a Southern California Celtic fan. He doesn't understand that sort of thing.
Come out to the coast.
But all he knows is that they're ready to roll.
So, yeah, I'd like to be a little healthier.
Although, I'll tell you, you
a lot of turnovers.
You just need to get healthy. The Cavs are no joke. I know you might think that they're...
I think Indiana's going to give them a lot of issues.
Well, Indiana's a well-coached team with tons of stars on it, led by Halliburton and a bunch of tough guys, you know. But I do think it's going to come down to the Celtics and Cavs, and we'll see how that plays out.
We'll see.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. So we came back from New Orleans from the Super Bowl this year, and the Wednesday afterwards, because you guys like when I do power rankings.
Oh,
you like when I do silly power rankings. Mm-hmm. You like when I state things as fact when you know I'm a more nuanced guy, but I'm forced into being
forced.
Yeah, I'm forced. I mean, I'm being forced against my will.
We may guide you some way, but not coerce.
I understand. You showed me the light eventually on power rankings. Wow. You're like, you should do a weekly power rankings. Yeah, and I'm like, well, what's so powerful? Like, tell me why they're called power. You know, like, is it about the now? Is it about the future?
Just so everybody listening realizes, this was a real conversation. Like,
yeah,
I had to break down. It's power, Rich.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Week by week.
Oh, yeah. You did not want to do it, Rich.
I understand.
You did not want to do it.
Oh, yeah. So I understand you want me to be clickbaity. I get it.
I mean, not on all things, but it's springtime.
So I gave you what you want.
Oh, thank you.
I like giving you guys what you want.
See? Thanks. Okay. That happens every other Friday.
Hey, please.
TJ
is not referring to his paycheck. He's referring to the biweekly invite he has to light the Shabbat candles in my house.
That is true.
I'm a man of the people.
I'm the Paul Pierce of the Rich Eisen Show.
L'chaim.
Which means on that one time, I was carried out of here to the bathroom.
We are.
That was two Super Bowls ago.
Off the rails.
Well, there was also the trash can incident.
He has no idea I vomited once upon a time in the middle of a conversation with him. And then needed to be replaced. Susie drove down the 405.
Oh, he was on the other day. We should have told him.
Yeah, right.
We forgot about that. You know what? I just think at some point, Dan will be here in person. I need to see him.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a story you got to share face to face.
Yeah, that is it. At any rate, I digress. Came back from the Super Bowl, and I gave you a way too early power rankings.
Yes.
And here they are.
Oh, look at that.
Where I said the Eagles are number one for the 2025 season, followed by the Ravens, Commanders, Chiefs, Lions, Bills, Rams, Vikings, Broncos, and Chargers. And just to add to the lunacy of all this, you guys were pushing back on me about the merits of this rankings.
Obviously.
When of course. It's meritless to begin with, on its face. That's why we added another way to the way to power, early power rankings.
Just so people were aware.
But a lot of people call the NFL draft the off-season Super Bowl.
Indeed.
So if I'm going to start doing a way, way too early power rankings after the Super Bowl, then I need to do a way too early power rankings after the NFL draft. Oh, now that we've gotten the free agency period done and the coaching hiring cycle done and the draft finished. A little bit more information here, which removes just one of the ways from the headline. So here now.
You're on the clock, Rich.
Is my way too early power rankings for 2025. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings. You're giggling over there.
I gotta mute myself sometimes.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Writing these down. Let's go. I feel like I'm gonna have issues.
Yeah. New to the list.
Oh. New.
Yes. I've liked what they've done. And when you keep a core of a team together, that has made the playoffs five straight years and has the longest active streak of winning the division in the NFC, and you keep that veteran-laden team together, and you add a bunch of rookies to help the side of the ball that needs that help, and then you also add a rookie to an offense that's got a Hall of Famer in Mike Evans and has got Chris Godwin back, and you got Baker Mayfield pulling the trigger, the four-time defending NFC South champion Buccaneers are 10th on the list.
Is this literally just because Jason Light's coming on?
Nope.
I mean, it would be smart.
Well, I mean, the guy did say yes when he said yes.
You have to appeal your audience.
Wow.
Pill two.
I'm putting the Bucks here.
Okay.
By the way, they had Tez Johnson in the seventh round out of Oregon. That's not a bad seventh rounder. That guy's fast.
He's fast. And confirmed.
You know, Emeka Ebuka is now added to that wide receiver.
Yeah, he's
group.
Very good.
Man. Okay.
Think about that.
Even just yesterday, we're like, Kate Otten, not too bad. He went higher register on the Bucks yesterday. Now that I'm saying it with a level voice, you're pushing back on a way too early power rankings.
Yeah, that was yesterday. This is today. Yeah.
Number 9 on the list, down 4 spots from the way, way too early list to the 9th spot on the way too early list. Yeah, it's just stupid. They lost Carlton Davis in free agency, replaced him with DJ Reed. They lost both coordinators. I got to see what the Lions look like.
Oh, wow.
They lost both coordinators.
Wow, the Campbell honeymoon's over.
It's not over. They're in the top third in the NFL.
Where are they? They were in the top 3 all year.
I know.
Kneecaps.
They got one and done. They lost both coordinators. Last team that lost both coordinators went from the Super Bowl to barely making the playoffs.
They were 10-1, the Eagles, that year.
I know, and then lost several in a row.
Okay.
And they still made the playoffs, which, by the way, is what a 9th overall team on a power rankings list does.
All right. Interesting.
It's also the last day of April. Ish.
This isn't my list. It's your list.
Number 8.
Oh.
I'm moving them up. They revamped their offensive line. Right. They took 2 of the best offensive linemen from the Indianapolis Colts in Will Freeze and Ryan Kelly, the center, and put them on their offensive line. They added Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave to their defensive line. They added Jordan Mason to their running back room and kept Aaron Jones. They added Rondale Moore to a wide receiver room that is already quite significant, headlined by Justin Jefferson. They re-signed their coach of the year, Kevin O'Connell. They re-signed Harrison Smith. The only reason why the Vikings are 8th on this list is I do need to see what my guy J.J. McCarthy looks like. Vikings are 8.
I think you had them 8. I think they stay the same.
They are no change.
No change.
This team stays like a buffalo. Like the Rent and Godfather Part 2.
Stays like a buffalo.
Thank you, Mike. Up 2 spots. 1 spot for each dynamite boldface name, if they're healthy, defenders that they took in free agency from the 49ers defensive side of the ball. In Greenlaw and Afonga. Evan Engram, they add the tight end in free agency. Jahdae Barron, let's try and shut down one half of the field. That isn't shut down because our defensive player of the year in Patrick Surtain shuts down the other side. R.J. Harvey, a running back out of UCF, could be a steal of the draft. Bo Nix, how's he going to follow things up? I'm putting the Broncos 7th, guys.
Okay.
They made the playoffs. They are good, and I can't wait to see what they look like this year. Number 6 on the list.
7.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm keeping the Bills 6th. I mean, I understand the Bills fans are like, where's the help for the offense? You even were shouting that at me yesterday, Chris.
I'm shouting.
No, you raised your voice at me, and I won't forget it. All right.
Bills stay 6.
Okay.
Like a buffalo.
You could basically say the toughest thing going on in Josh Allen's life is buying a ticket to see the most red-hot movie in the United States of America.
Did you see what Sauce Gardner said about that?
I did. But also, Josh understands. His wife is a bona fide top-notch actress. All right? Everybody back off Josh Allen. The Bills are 6th. Man, I'm not taking any cheese that this is the year they're not going to win their division. Number 5 on the list is down 1 spot because I think others have stayed like a before.
Like a before.
Or have improved. The Chiefs did get Travis Kelce staying put, so that, I think, is a significant addition. They didn't lose any more from their offensive line than the ones they were willing to cough up. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're still a top 5 team in the National Football League. They're number 5, up 3 spots. Guys, I'm going to just say this right now. You guys are going to go to more games than you're selling tickets to on the secondary ticket market.
That's actually true this
I'm
year.
Already doing that.
You
I'm
guys are actually going to go to
I'm
more Rams
some
games.
Sundays.
You're going to go to more Rams games.
100%.
You're going to take off more days from the job that you take off more days for this show than anything else to go see a football game.
No,
Mike,
that
infuriates me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I ain't buying it.
Come on, Mike. For the Rich Eisen show, I'm not taking days off. But to go see the Rams play football? Absolutely.
I mean, he's got better seats for the Rams than this show, I think.
Great line.
Facts.
Great line.
Great line. That can attest.
Mike Del Tufo for the Rams. I'll turn down FS7.
Stop. I'm on Big Fox all the time now.
The Rams have added Devontae Adams. I know they lost Cooper Kupp, but Devontae Adams is at the top of his game. They kept Matthew Stafford. They added Puna Ford to the defensive line that is young and awesome. I think they've made some help for the offensive line significantly. They did lose Christian Roseboom, but the Rams should be a top five team this year.
And drafted a fun tight end.
The Ravens are down one spot, but they're still a top three team.
That's good.
Oh, you'll understand why the Ravens are down one spot. I'll tell you what, man. DeAndre Hopkins was a nice add. They kept Ronnie Stanley. They added Malachi Starks in the draft. Mike Green out of Marshall was a second-round pick who fell because of some red flags of off the field that obviously the Ravens say that they can figure out. The only guy with more tackles for loss entering this year's draft then Mike Green is Abdul Carter. And I like Cooper Rush as the backup, dude. Except the only difference between Cooper Rush in Baltimore and Cooper Rush in Dallas is if Cooper Rush gets in and wins games for an injured quarterback, no one thinks it's Cooper Rush's job when Lamar Jackson comes back.
Yeah, well, in all fairness, nobody thought that the other time either.
Settle down just a little bit.
Number two on the list, up one spot to cause the Ravens to go down one, is the Commanders.
Oh, wait.
Tunsil and Debo before anything else. And they just, they see the unicorn and they say, we're not only going to protect them, we're going to give them another weapon. And they drafted Josh Connerly out of Oregon to be the right tackle to Tunsil's left tackle. The Commanders, man. And number one is still the Eagles. No change there. So I put the Bucks in, drop the Chargers out, change things around. And that's my way too early power rankings for the 2025 season. The only question is when I'm just going to do the too early version. When would that be? Like June?
It seems like a good time.
You know what I mean?
Maybe right before training camp.
Before training camp. That's the too early version.
Just, you know, no team that won the draft. That's all.
Okay.
Midsummer version.
All right. You're putting the Patriots in the top 10 teams. Okay. And you're barking at me about putting in the top 10 the team that has won its division four straight times, which is the most of anybody in the entire National Football Conference.
I had them as a top five offense last year.
Who, the Bucs?
Yesterday I had top five offense.
And you pushed back.
Well, that's my job.
Okay. Well, we won't tell that to Jason Light when he zooms in at hour number one. Hour number three, pardon me. But that's after Tia Carrere strolls out our studio.
Let's go.
That's after Howie Roseman, who joins us in 20 minutes' time. Howie. That's right. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls, and we will hit the other father-son story in sports. The NFL has spoken about Prankgate, if there's such a thing. Andrew Bogish with a sports update right now.
The Sean Ryan Show Peak Points. Get timeless inspiration from the very best of The Sean Ryan Show.
What do you think of working with the SEALs?
We went out every night going after bad guys. I was humbled.
There was no going back home.
I would be in another room crying because I was afraid to go to sleep because of what was coming for me in the middle of the night.
How long did it take you to be able to talk about it?
Long time. But I realized my experiences may help other people too.
The men like yourself are considered legends in the community.
You're right.
The Sean Ryan Show Peak Points. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, let's do it again.
Yes.
I got three checks left. It's time for another rousing edition of Residual Rich.
Pay that man his money.
All right, we did it twice yesterday. TJ, this is an I guess, symbolic of your Price is Right experience. You won one, and then there was a multiple over, which basically is your experience.
It was.
In a nutshell.
Well, I mean, there was win, and then the over. You don't count.
I've got three checks. I've got 1, 3, and 4. Which one do you want, TJ Jefferson? Which one?
To quote the great
The
great De La Soul, 3, it's the magic number.
Oh, okay, yeah. Very good. Or to quote me, take the middle one. Yeah. If you had done that, you might have won a friggin' car.
Rich, if I'd have done that, that would have been the end of the story. We wouldn't be talking about it every day.
Or the car would still be wrapped in a box in your driveway.
Yeah, that's true. I'd be later. Driving that right now.
All right.
It's still with the bow on it, like one of those Christmas commercials.
All right. This is for Winning Time.
Oh, hey.
This is one episode of Winning Time.
HBO pays.
Yeah, HBO pay TV. Winning Time, Chris Brockman.
I always go first. That's disadvantage.
That's true. TJ Jefferson.
He won. TJ. I liked the way we were going.
Closest without going over. You're first.
I'm going to say $15.75.
DJ Mikey D.
$35.
Dollars?
Oh, 1 cent.
1 cent. The actual retail price of the check is $29 and 7 cents.
Knew it. HBO pays.
So TJ Jefferson with $15.75 is the winner.
My own statement.
Again, man, guys, you're gonna have to come correct and win some of these residual riches.
This is getting boring.
Yeah.
Always.
Do we have
winning.
Time for one more?
Sure, we do.
All right. envelope 1 or 4.
These are little crap shots.
1 or 4. 1 or 4.
4.
Thank you. That was
4.
Took a little bit too long, I think.
Well, because I was doing the Wii one.
Okay,
we need one.
Okay, very good.
We did. We need one.
This is for 22 Jump Street.
Oh, okay.
22 Jump Street.
So you were the announcer of the football game.
I did a lot of ADR work
with
for this.
Will Forte.
Yes, sir.
Were you in the same room with Will?
I was indeed.
Oh,
we
that's
did
fine.
It, and I'll tell you what, it gets me some really cool dad points.
Yeah.
I didn't tell him when they rented 22 Jump Street.
That you were in it?
Yep.
Oh, that's
and I'm wondering if that's part of this
here?
Check. Go for it again. TJ, you'll go last since you won. Chris, you go.
Let's see. $2.83.
Okay. Mike?
$2.83?
Yep.
Yeah.
$10.
$10. TJ Jefferson. TJ Jefferson.
I hate to do this, Brockman.
Mm-hmm.
$2.84.
All right.
Pick.
Oh, can you say
wow.
that? Yeah, you could say it.
By the way, that would be great. If that would be, you know, like NBA moments on Price is Right to do that. all right, here we go. The actual retail price of my check for 22 Jump Street is $32.83.
Wow.
$32.83. So let me tell you guys, lunch is on me.
Yeah. Drinks are on the house.
Holy smokes.
That is the most enriching edition of Residual Rich I've had in quite some time.
Pizza for lunch. Let's go.
Since the Billy Bob one.
CSI Miami just doesn't pay very much.
No, that's what I'm realizing.
That is a significant amount of money. Could you imagine what Jonah Hill must be making off of that?
Gosh.
Cube? What Cube's making off of that?
A lot.
I'm making $32.
Jeez.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting to your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers available class exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 130 IIHS top safety awards since 2006 because Hyundai's always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. IIHS top safety awards include top safety pick and top safety pick plus awards to Hyundai vehicles for 2006 to 2025. Okay, I'm just going to come straight out. I don't normally do this. I don't normally traffic in this sort of talk, but I shall.
Oh.
If you are somebody out there that is pranking a National Football League draftee or thinks of doing it or thinks somebody who does it is doing something funny or it's something that's funny that should be shared or look at this, you are a loser. You're a big fat loser. Like you should get a hat with an L on it and have to walk around or have a sandwich board where you must walk around for a day saying, I am a big fat loser. You're a loser. Which is why I'm sure Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons, is heartbroken. Again, I don't know the guy. I only know people who know the guy. He's got to be, without a doubt, stunned and heartbroken that his son decided to snake the phone number of Shedeur Sanders off of his iPad. Proprietary information delivered not even to Ulbrich personally, but delivered to Ulbrich from others in the organization. decided to snake that off, write it down or whatever, give it to a friend at Ole Miss, actually go through with pranking Shedeur Sanders after everything the kid was going through, as if, despite the legendary stuff and everything else that you might think of him being about anything other than seriously endeavoring being a National Football League quarterback, is still a human being who was heartbroken himself over everything going on in the national conversation about what's up with him. If you, they call him and they prank him and videotape it, it's got to be absolutely gutting to Jeff Ulbrich. And now comes the fact that the league has fined him $100,000. And the Falcons, $250,000 for this sort of thing. Obviously, you know, his son apologized to the Sanders family, to everyone else, is completely front and center in all this. What a loss. Somebody in college doing something stupid, which, by the way, is a total story as old as time type of story, that this is now a public and the face of what's become apparently an epidemic. Because Drew Rosenhaus says today Abdul Carter got pranked, and we heard Riley Leonard got pranked, and Kyle McCord got pranked, and I'm sure there's a number of others that we don't know who got pranked. So the league is now coming down on the Falcons for $250,000, and you might sit here and go, for a prank call? That's ridiculous. Judy Batista putting out there for everyone what we know in the NFL Network and everything else, the ownership every year, general manager and head coach must certify in writing that there were no violations, including sharing of non-public information. That language is also in the contracts of the coaches. And to be clear, there's an NFL memo that delivers this information out every year pre-draft. It's marked confidential, and it goes only to the general manager, the head coach, and the player personnel director. Who they give it to is up to them. It is beyond clear to anyone who receives this information in the NFL. It's confidential, and you need to be careful where who gets it. And even though Jeff Ulbrich must be sitting there going, I can't leave my iPad open at home. Well, the answer is no, you can't. It's just a lose for everyone. But the ultimate loss is for anybody out there who thinks this is funny, because you are the loser there. Period. You know, I get a good prank. I understand a good prank every now and then. I get it. You're Mr. April Fool's around here.
I produce punk.
Are you a producer?
No.
But then there's pranks, and then there's beyond mean-spirited. And in the case of this with the NFL, against the rules of the Shield. I guess, did you see Shedeur Sanders, the video that came out of the actual call? Did you see it?
No. The call from the Browns?
From the Browns.
No, I did not.
Andrew Berry was FaceTiming him.
Ah.
Oh, you see?
Andrew Berry and Shedeur were FaceTiming. And okay, the one issue with the FaceTiming that Kara Henderson-Snead came up with to fix all this, that there's visual evidence of who it is, that I was saying is that if you're just answering your phone, it's tough to hear because there's a party going on.
Yeah, right.
Right. So it was tough for Shedeur to hear him. And the first part of the conversation is, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Whatever. It doesn't matter. At least you're not being pranked.
Right.
But they FaceTimed him.
That's the way to go.
They had him on speaker in the Browns room, and they handed the phone off to the coach.
Oh, that's cool.
But Andrew Berry was like this, and Shedeur was like this.
Smart.
And that's the end of that.
I think obviously from going on, from now on, that's what the
situation
right?
It's got to be, right?
It's got to be.
Block number, not acceptable.
I'm wondering. We wonder what took so long to come up with this.
I'm wondering if. Well, the reason is, too, is, I mean, this is an older league.
Oh, yeah, true.
Right?
Yeah.
Where a lot of the membership is
old school in their thoughts.
Right. And probably remembers the time before call waiting existed. And of these draft rooms, there's landlines. You know, and that's what the Joneses literally pass the handset to people. You see that in the Cowboys room. It's
corded handset.
Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could be Zoom. It could be FaceTime, whatever. Yeah. But visually, it has to.
Understood.
Yeah.
So, you know, like there's also a way for the social media teams to plug into the landline to get the sound, which is part of the content that comes out that we love seeing. Yeah. You know, people crying over this stuff.
It's great.
But if it's going to lead to people crying over getting
pranked. That's not funny.
What the hell? I can't believe we're talking about this. But we are. Now we're not. And I imagine teams are going to be like Daniel Jeremiah saying his son listening in on the call, right, on the line where you hear who the draft picks are going to be.
Right.
He told him, no, don't say a word to anybody.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back.
There's been so many times where I'm like, I apologize that I said that, but that wasn't meant for you to hear.
Feel you there.
How fun would it be to bring in some Bravo celebrities and make our own bracket?
Iconic.
All right, I'll take Dorinda, you take Sonia.
Sonia is who I wish I could be.
You and me both. I cannot be someone in the program. What's PTO?
Pay time off, see? Oh. You never had a real job.
Give them Lala.
It is nothing but honesty.
You guys know.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.